What a great place to be on a Sunday morning, amen? Amen. We're going to pray before we get stuck in. God, we thank you today that you are with us, that you are changing us, that you are ever moving us into your likeness. And God, that I pray that the Daniel that goes next week is better and more Christ-like than this Daniel. And God, I pray that you just continue forming us from glory to glory into your image. And God, that you work on our hearts today. Show us where we need to surrender. And God, what needs to be given up to you. In your mighty, wonderful name, amen. Amen. Hey, God is so good. There have been so many wins, so many miracles, so many things that have happened already this year. It's awesome. I had the privilege last week of preaching at our Farsi and Arabic services. So back to back, I didn't feel three in one weekend was a good idea. But so Jono covered for me. But we had such great services. And there was a man at the Farsi service who had his elbow healed, who'd had, you know, repetitive strain injury from his elbow. And there was a man who from the Arabic service was healed, and he'd had such a mental anguish in his life that it had become physical pain, and he hadn't slept for 2 days. And God was just able to set him free straight away. And there's just so many great things going on in our church. Amen? Now, but it's not just us. God is moving all over the Western world. As we heard, you know, Emily and Kate say before, God is moving. There's a shift happening. Every person that I talk to, their church is growing. Now that, like, you know, if one church is growing, maybe everybody from other churches has just started going to that church. But if every church is growing, that's amazing. That's God moving in society, right? And so every person I talk to, their church is growing. Every person I talk to, they're saying the world is fed up. The experiment's done. The running away from God doesn't work. And so the world is realizing, hey, this godless society isn't any good. We've got to get back to God. And it's just, you know, people are pouring into churches and people are seeing the power of God. And I'm so excited to be a part of this. Aren't you? So excited that God would use us. Amen? So good. So on that note, today's message is entitled Something Must Die. Right? We just went right up high and then right down low. Just get all excited and then death. Something must die. We had a brush with death this week. Megan, she ordered a book via eBay, like a secondhand book. Ordered a book and the book arrived. And I know you think I'm going to say that she opened the book and there was anthrax or something. No. She opened the book and the bookmark was a plane ticket. And the guy's name was Stephen Death on the plane ticket. That was our brush with death this week. Yes, anyway. I didn't have a story, so I just had to say that. Like that was the closest thing I had to a story of death. See, death is the end of a life or a last name. But it's the end of a life of a person or an organism. Done, finished, no longer, final. Death is that thing no longer lives anymore. We're going to get stuck into scripture. So if you've got your Bibles or your phones and you can quickly download the Bible app, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through to 14. And if you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen for you. Awesome. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? There's a whole message in that. We're going to keep going. By no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, then we are certainly also united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, might be killed and made dead. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we also live with him.
For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin rule over your mortal body, that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. That's it. I don't need to preach anymore. See, the start of this amazing, set up by Paul, amazing theological breakdown, is that first something must die. See, in order for Christ to have the power over death, he died and was raised again. In order for us to have the power over death, we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. We're buried with him in the waters of baptism. We're raised to a newness of life. Something must die. I must die. Christ died so that I could live. He rescued me. Now I must die so that Christ can live through me. See, when it talks about death, it's the finalization of the bad, and the newness is good. See, surely if we're buried with him, we're also resurrected with him. This is being born again, or a new creation. This is what we talk about when we talk about being born again. It is a death to the old life and a newness of life. But wait, I've seen Christian sin. I've seen Christian sin. So if it was death to the mortal body and done away with sin and newness of life, how come Christians still sin? That's good, Giddy. I like it. Good question. The end of a life or a person, not just a last name. Death must happen. The old me must die. The old Daniel must die. The old Daniel's likes, his dislikes, his opinions, his thoughts, his values, his passions, his politics, his priorities, his principles, his practices, his preferences. I'm really trying to get the alliteration in there. It all must die. Cease to exist, finished. Death to it. Death to it. Not holding on to the little bits of stuff that I'd liked a little bit, or the things that I don't want to let go of. No, death, it all must die. I must die. But not for the reason of self-hatred. For the purpose of a new life. No longer a life ruled by me and what I like and my stuff and my selfish wants and what I think, but a life ruled, entirely devoted to, and guided by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Pointed at Jesus and running towards him. But the old has to die first. See, we know in our own lives that if you don't have a willingness to change, then it won't change, right? This is easier to see in someone else than it is in yourself. So maybe I'll use the example of your kids. Parents, how many parents have tried to teach their kids something and their kids just stubborn? Just so stubborn and won't move. And my mum's over there saying amen, yeah? Right? It's okay. How many times have you tried to teach your kids something? But they have to realize in themselves first, I've got to change. They have to recognize first, this part, it's not serving me well. It's not serving me well. It's not serving the world well. It's not serving any great purpose. I have to recognize the need for change first. And then I can start to move and change. See, this life, any life, good or otherwise, lived for its own selfish desires, is infinitely worse than one lived for Christ. But I really, really love earning money. But I really, really love whatever thing. Playing soccer. Where's Dimos? Where is he? Really, really love. But I really, really love these things. And they might be good things. That's great. But are they God things? Are they God things? Did God tell you, Dimos, go play soccer, go coach soccer and lead those kids to Christ? Well, no. I just like it. Okay, well, then it's not a... You got to die to that. See, everybody around me, my own life, everything I ever touch, if I do it in my will, it will be broken. Or at least, if it's good, it won't be perfect. But if I do it in Christ, it will be His perfect plan outworked. Living for my own desires is being governed by my old, dead nature. But I want to be dead to sin and alive in Christ, right? Who's ready to die today? You ready to die today? Ed's over there, ready to die. He's okay. He's good. He's excited. You ready to die today? Something must die. But Daniel, I've seen you sin. Yeah, at least if you're close enough, you have. That's okay. I'm not perfect. So what's going on? Why when we give our lives to Christ and we get baptized, is it not that we live perfectly forever on? How good would that be? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through to 15. We're reading a lot of scripture today, but God's word's good. There's actually, I'm going to, quick side note, I said it to someone yesterday. I think I said it to Chris yesterday. I would love for Australian culture to pick up one thing from American culture. In American Christian culture, when they say God is good, everyone recites back all the time. And then all the time, God is good, right? That's really fun. Anyway, I think we should pick that up. It'll take a long time, change culture and do all of those things, but we'll do it. Cool. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, that the rightful righteousness of God lived out of faith. Lived out of faith in Jesus Christ. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh, they can't please God. Caveat, even with a good thing. Like, they can't please God. But you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, you're in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit that lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live that way, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, no, so that you can fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. See, when we get made new, a new creation, we are immediately saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Immediately saved and going to heaven, and it starts this relationship with God. But it's not meant to stay here where you're dealing with all of the sin and the mess and the stuff. And yes, you've got your salvation. That's guaranteed. You're going to heaven. Awesome, amazing. But this relationship with God is meant to take you from this place of death that's hurting you, that breaks you, that breaks relationships, that breaks all the things around you, this place of death, and turn your mind from being set on this to being set on things of God. And slowly we walk to the things of God. And slowly we get closer to the things of God. And as our minds are set on the things of God, we walk away from the other stuff. But there's so many Christians that get in here and they're like, but I'm still not perfect. And I know that God, you've done this amazing work, but I've still got all this other stuff that I'm not over there. It's okay. God is still working on you. As long as your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, he will empower you to strip away and kill all of the stuff that you've brought with you and go towards his glory. But something must die. The same willingness we had here to say, God, I surrender and nothing's working for me. God, all of this stuff put to death. We have to have that same willingness over here and say, God, whatever you want to kill off, kill it off. I'm okay. Something must die. I'm still happy to die. Let's go. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit to continuously put to death the flesh and continuously replace it with Christ. In theological circles, this is called saved and being saved. I think it's better put saved and being perfected. Saved, totally salvation guaranteed, but God is not done with me yet. And he is building me and he is changing me and he is still stripping away all the old stuff. Salvation is through faith alone. And the only power that enacts perfection is God. Therefore, salvation is through faith alone and perfection is through faith alone. The journey starts with faith. It goes on with faith and it ends in faith. It is Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and none of me. The Holy Spirit is the means of changing our lives. Our life is found in Christ and it is perfected through Christ. Glory to glory, faith to faith. Ever being transformed into his image. But Christians, we're like, but I still have these things that I'm still not great at telling my kids the truth. Sometimes I lie to my kids. I don't lie to you. This is not my problem. This is just an example, all right? Okay. But like you might still have that issue going on in your life. And I'm not perfect and I want to get surrender this area and I want to move forward. Why? See, faith drives a change in our hearts, in our minds, and then eventually in our bodies. Eventually, our behavior just can't help but change. And you know this to be true if you've been a Christian more than 10 minutes. Because you gave up some stuff here and you moved forward, but you might have felt stuck. So what happens to us as Christians is we fall into what I like to call the Galatians trap. I only like to call it the Galatians trap. It should just be called the human trap, but Galatians was when Paul wrote about it. So, you know, that's what I'm going to call it. We fall into this trap of God, I had to die here and surrender to faith, and faith grew me this far, and I still haven't got all this stuff, and I need to sort out this stuff before I can move into a better relationship with God. Am I just preaching to myself here? I know I believe you, God, and I love you, and I know I'm saved, but I just got to work out this thing first before I can keep serving you. I just got to fix this stuff in my life. We start by faith and then we try and finish by works. We try and finish by fixing ourselves. And all we do is we take our eyes off Jesus and we put it on ourselves and we try and sort ourselves out. But it was Jesus that brought us this far. And Jesus that guarantees the end. Why are we trying to fuel it by ourselves now? And then what happens is we turn our eyes away from Christ and we go back to the flesh. Because the mind governed by the flesh is death. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and we're going to read to chapter 3, verse 3. This is Paul. This is the Galatians trap. He's smashing them over the head, and I feel like he's smashing me over the head. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be attained by the law, by the works, by the doing things, then Christ died for nothing. I started this race by grace and by faith and by Jesus only. And now I'm running this race and I don't set aside the grace that I was given at start. I don't look back. I run and press on towards Jesus. There, here comes the smash over the head. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or believing by what you'd heard? Did any one of us ever work our way to salvation? Of course, the answer is no. So Paul asks a very easy rhetorical question here. Did any of you work to salvation? No. Did you receive the Spirit by the works or by believing what you heard? Of course it was by believing what you heard. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Yes, Paul, I've done that. And I would have a reasonably appropriate guess at 100% of you here have probably done that. If you've chosen to believe before, you've probably walked this road however many years and you've still got some stuff that's hanging around of the flesh and the things that you don't like and you want to run to Christ and then you're just like, but I've got to sort this stuff out now. And I gotta work out all of this stuff and do all the works and finish all the things and fix all this stuff about me, and soon enough I'm not pointed at Christ. You foolish South Morangians. South Morangatangs? That's a better one. After beginning by means of the Spirit, I'm now trying to finish in the flesh. Man, how silly. It was all about Jesus and it will never be about anything else. But the same thought back here when I was in my mess that something must die has to be the same thought now. However many years past my salvation, 15, 17, whatever. It's got to be the same. Something must die. I must die. My opinions, my stuff, my mess. I don't want any of that, and I want all of you, Jesus. That's it. for my family, for the church, for me, for everything I ever want to do. I don't want my legacy to be anything other than I made progress towards Jesus. That's it. I must die to the flesh every day so that I can accept the new creation God is forming me into. A closer resemblance to his righteousness. And when someone challenges me to look more like Jesus, I'm not going to respond in, yes, I'm going to work harder to be more like Jesus. I'm going to respond in faith, scripture. God is forming me, transforming me, renewing my mind more and more and more. To accept his righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore we all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we don't do that any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anybody has made this decision to follow Christ, then they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to him in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The ministry of reconciliation in us, the proof of that is death. The proof of that is death. Not our brush with death and not the last name death. The proof of that is death. Death to the old. Death consistently to the old fleshly desires and a newness of life. And by this ministry of Jesus reconciling us to him, the world will know that Christ is real. We will be his ambassadors on this road. He will use us and show the world that his power is the exact same today as what it was when he was raised from the dead. So today, whether you're here and you haven't made the decision yet to follow Jesus, whether you're standing in your mess and it's time for you to make a decision to recognize that this is just death. This is just all death for me. And I need to turn and believe in Jesus and let him start to form a new creation in me. Or whether you're halfway down this road and you have kind of taken your eyes off Christ and you've tried to fall and you've fallen into the Galatians trap. You've fallen into trying to fix it all by works. The answer is something must die. A wise man sitting in the second row once said to me, it's always about surrender. Every single time I want to make it about something else, it's always about surrender. Whether you're here or whether you're here, it is always about surrender. Faith in Jesus Christ and let him change you. Let him empower you. Shift your focus again from the flesh to the spirit. Shift your focus again, or for the first time, from your own life to Jesus. God, I pray for each person in this first decision. God, that we accept you as our Lord and Savior. And today we choose to let go of the flesh. Let that all die off. God, today start a relationship with us through faith in Jesus Christ, through believing in his death and resurrection. That the old me you would strip away. And God, give me a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross, for stripping away the old, and for what you did in resurrecting and giving a newness of life. And God, today we make that decision to follow you for the rest of our lives. God, for all those people that are in the ladder, somewhere along the road, and they maybe took their eyes off you. God, you are the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we're sorry that you forgot it, that we forgot it. We forgot that you were the pioneer and perfecter. We forgot that it was all about you, and we made it about us. And we tried to fix it other ways, and we tried to deal with it other ways. God, forgive us. Fix our eyes back on you. God, strip away the old things like you did before. Like you've done so much in my life. Strip away the old and just keep drawing me to you. Keep drawing me more and more, glory to glory. God, keep doing your work in me. I'm sorry for the things that I made it when it's all about you, Jesus. If there's anyone today that would like prayer, I'd love to encourage you to come up to the front and pray for you. If you've made that decision for the first time, or maybe you're just re-surrendering, I'd love to pray for you. I want to encourage you that this week, every time you fall back into that trap, every time your mind gets back onto the things of the flesh, just remind yourself, Galatians 3, don't be so foolish. Go strive on in faith, not in works. We're going to keep worshiping. If you want to hang around, hang around. If you want to head out for a coffee, you're welcome to do so. If you'd like prayer, please come to the front. If you're on the live stream, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, hello@infinitychurch.org. Love to connect up with you. Thank you for coming today. We'll see you next week.